Good evening, everyone, on this Halloween, or I can't remember how you pronounce the other thing. Samhain, is it? For those who celebrate it. I don't happen to, but I've got nothing against it. I'm home alone at the moment because Ronan is at his dad's because they've got a wedding to go to tomorrow. Connor can't get the day off to go, but he's gone out this evening with some friends to the cinema. And Obi has left for work. He's working on the railway until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. So Connor will be home probably within the hour, I should imagine. We haven't had any trick-or-treaters at all this year. I think last year we only had two. Excuse me. We did buy some bits and pieces of sweets, but it's just as well. There weren't many left because Obi and the kids have been eating them. I must admit to eating one tiny packet of Milky Way Magic Stars and a mini Mars bar. I don't normally eat sweets, but you know. But the rest of them they can have because I don't like them. They're all these chewy lollipops and stuff. I'm sitting by my open back door because it's so mild. In fact, I got really hot because I foolishly felt cold after I'd done my last lot of dialysis and I put the heating on. And I was upstairs and I forgot about it and it gets unbearable. And it's mild, so mild. Plus, I've had my dryer on. Well, it's a washer dryer and that's been on, so the kitchen's already hot. We always joke about my little black cat, Candice, being a witch's cat. And we say she's going to go out on Halloween casting spells. Well, guess what? She's the only one that's not in. So where she is, I do not know. But I really came on here in response to Darren Harris's post to talk about some ghostly goings-on. Well, I don't know if they're really ghostly goings-on, but they're just things that have happened to me over the years. They're not really ghostly. I don't know if I believe in ghosts and spirits. I keep an open mind on it. I'm not a sceptic. I'm just open-minded. I could go either way. So, excuse me. I don't really know which one to start with. I think I'll start with the most recent one that happened to me. And that was with when I lived at home. Well, after university, I went back home for a while. That was Niall dropping his bone on the floor. And at the time, I had a guide dog called Star. And we used to imagine that she talked, hello, like this. She was, oh, yes, she was a bit of a lady. And anyway, it was only a family thing. No one else did it outside the family or knew about it. So I was living at home and one night... Oh, here comes Connor. Hold on. Okay, as I was saying, I lived at home and I had Star. And one night I went to let her out. It was quite late. I don't know, I think it was probably around about midnight. Everyone else was in bed. We had a next door neighbour who was, I think she was older than, she's no longer with us, but she was older than my parents. And one thing I do know, she wouldn't have been out there at night because she was scared of going out the garden in the dark. And then there's no other houses or anywhere around. So I put Star in the garden and I went to clean my teeth or something. And I didn't have a relief pen. And then I went to call her in and she wouldn't come at first. I was going, Star, come on, Star. And then all of a sudden, and I swear to this day, this is the truth, and something that's unexplained to me, I heard her come trotting up the garden path and this voice that sounded like her voice, which was like a sort of like about of a 12-year-old girl, say, here I am. Now, I swear to this day, that is what I heard, and I didn't imagine it. I hadn't been drinking or anything like that. I didn't drink then. I did go through a phase of drinking later on, but I don't drink now. So, I don't know. Was she communicating with me somehow? I had no idea. Absolutely no idea. All I do know is that it couldn't have been anybody else. It wasn't a human that was out there. because there wouldn't have been any. It was too late at night, it was dark. Everyone in the house was in bed, and the bedrooms were at the front, or they still are. So it's not like anyone could have, not like my sister could be mucking around and stuck her head out the window. She might, I've got a feeling she wasn't even there anyway. another one is, it's not really to do with me, but Star, I kept Star when she retired, and I had her put to sleep in just before she was 14, a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks before she was 14. And I don't know how much longer afterwards that that this was, but when my kids were small, I didn't let the dogs, my dogs have always slept in the bedroom. Niall doesn't, because he just doesn't like going upstairs much. But all my other dogs have always had their beds in the bedroom if they wanted to stay in there. And in latter years, we did put them on the landing, because when the kids were younger, we were in a house that had a big landing. It had, at the top of the stairs, there was a big square open bit. And that's where we put the dogs' beds. In later years, when I had the kids, I put them out there before I had the kids, so that they didn't feel like they'd been pushed out by a baby. Or guide dogs are very gregarious anyway, and they're pretty, you know, people orientated. So I don't think I would have needed to worry anyway, but just to be extra cautious. And we had a gate. Then once you got past this big square bit, there was a passageway that led to the bedrooms and the bathroom. And across that, the entrance to that passageway, we had a gate. So the dogs had all the landing. They could come to the gate, and the kids could go to the gate when they were toddlers and talk to the dogs through the gate. So when Connor was two, is when I had Star put to sleep. It's coming up 20 years this December. And the reason I'm telling you about their sleeping arrangements, because all the time that Connor was... Connor was alive. That's awful. He still is. He just came in. All the time that Connor had been alive, that's what I meant to say, all his life, he'd never seen dogs in the bedroom at all. So one night he told me that he'd seen Star in the bedroom. Now, I don't know whether he saw her ghost or what, but she was dead. And she'd never... It's not like he could just be making it up, because she used to come in the bedroom, and he thought he saw her there. He'd never seen her in the bedroom, and he said Star was here. That's what he actually said. Star was here. I saw Star. That's what he said. Star was here. I saw Star. And then just something else about Connor. It's not to do with ghosts or anything. He can't remember this now, but when he was a little boy, he could remember being inside me before he was born. And they say some people do remember this. And I know he wasn't making it up, because I said to him, what was it like in there? And do you know what he said? I could hear footsteps. Well, obviously, that was my heartbeat. I mean, why would he make that up? And I think that's really fascinating. You know, he always used to be going on about it. When I said, what was it like in there? I could hear footsteps. And of course, he wouldn't have known what footsteps were when he was in there. But, you know, I suppose when his brain processed it when he came out, and if he heard a noise that sound, you know, like that, it must have reminded him of when he was in there. the other things aren't really ghostly. Well, they're not at all. They're just kind of weird. The next time was... Well, okay, this was the first time, was when I was 13, and I was away at school. Now, my parents, my mum's always been mad on cats ever since she was a child. And when I was 12, she started doing cat rescue work. She rescued all these feral cats from a hospital that was closing down. And we had a lot of them. My dad built like a cattery at the end of the garden, and a lot of them lived out their life there. But the ones that were younger were able to be tamed, and she found homes for them all with the help of a few other people. I think there was about 60 or 70 in all. Anyway, one of the ones that we had indoors was, I don't know how old she was when we had her, about 3 months old, I suppose. Excuse me. And we called her Little Ginger. She was a bit, actually a bit like, I think she was a bit like Pinky in her colour, but she had more white on her. Pinky hasn't got a lot of white. And she was about the size of Pinky, quite small. And she was very pretty. I could see a little bit then. She had a very pretty face. And she had the softest fur. I've never had a cat ever since then. And I've seen a lot of cats in my life with my mum doing the work that she does. And she still does it, believe me. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of cats, probably thousands. And now this little cat had a home. But she wasn't tame enough to go. And the funny thing about her was she was only tame with me. She didn't like anybody else. No one else could get near her. That she used to sleep on my pillow. She used to sleep on my bed with me. I could stroke her. And, you know, she didn't run away. Anyone else, they came near her, she was gone. Now, there were two other cats that were the same age as her. And we called them, they were tortoiseshells. We called them Big Tort and Little Tort. We had those a long time till they died. They probably could have been found homes, but we kept them. And in the end, my mum decided not to home Little Ginger because she, you know, the people got fed up with waiting because she just couldn't get tamed. So I think they must have had another cat or another kitten or got one from somewhere else. So we ended up keeping her. So when they were about a year old, these three were going to get spayed. And I was away at school, and I was home the weekend before, and I remember that you know, I said goodbye to them all before I went back to school. I was cat mad as well. I'm not as bad as I used to be. I'm absolutely obsessed about cats. Everyone knew me at school that associated with cats. I mean, I love dogs, but cats have always been my thing. So I remember them all. They were all curled up together on the sofa in the lounge, and I remember stroking them all, sitting with them for a little while, and then I went back off to school, and then I knew they were having their operation on the following Friday. It was in June. And that evening, as I said in a previous post on one of my Octava days, we had to learn the piano, and we obviously had to practice a certain amount. I think it was 3 nights a week or something, in prep time, which is when we did our homework, which was from 4:45 till 6:35 every day. Well, not Wednesdays, because we had Wednesday afternoon off. Maybe I practiced, I think it was 3 times a week. Anyway, my teacher was Patricia Elgar. She was related to Elgar the composer. She was his great niece. I don't know if she's still alive now. She was quite a nervous woman, but anyway, she was my teacher. She wasn't the head teacher of music. That was Miss Coates, who was a very abrasive lady. But Miss Elgar was quite nice, and she wouldn't really say boo to a goose. And she let certain of her pupils practice on her piano if she wasn't teaching that night. I wasn't favoured or anything, but I think she knew that I was gentle on it. I wasn't one of these people that hammered around on it. I treated it properly. So I was allowed to go and practice in her room on this particular night because she wasn't teaching on a Friday night. So I went in there. I was in the middle of playing something. I can't remember what now, practicing it, because we had to learn what we called a piece. And I was sitting there with my Braille music book and all that. And then I had a little bit of sight then. And it was a summer evening. It was June when the evenings were long. And it was coming up, it was just about a week before midsummer. And the sun was coming in, you know, it was, well, I don't know what time it was, 6-ish. Sun was coming in the window. It used to come in the back window, the back of the school. No, sorry, the front of the school in the evenings, into the dining room. That was at the front as well. And I don't know, I got up. Something made me get up, and I went to the window, and I was just kind of looking out the window. I could see a little bit. And that's Pinky. And they're all shut in for the night, apart from Candice, who's out somewhere. And something said inside me that she was dead, my cat. She's not, she's dead. And I started crying. I couldn't stop crying. I knew it. I just knew it. I don't know how I knew, but I did. And so we weren't allowed, we had one phone call a week. Mine was on a Monday. And so on Saturdays and Wednesdays, I think they had it on a Wednesday, they had this thing. Everyone had a phone, what they called a phone time for about 10 minutes once a week. We didn't have mobiles then. It was long before the advent of those in this country, certainly. I don't know about abroad in America or whatever. I should imagine they weren't around then either. But the next day, from 3 till 5, they had something called free phoning, which means anyone can go and use the phone. It was an old coin phone we put 10 pence in or whatever. 50 pence, I don't know. 2 pence, maybe, I can't remember. It was a long time ago, and you had to queue up, and then, you know, you could take your turn, and there was no set times. That's why it was called free phone. But not that many people did it, really, because most people were out on a Saturday and Wednesday afternoon because we didn't have lessons. So I used to be a member of the poultry club, and on the Saturday afternoon, I had to clean out the chickens, and we were supposed to do it in pairs, but I think whoever I was supposed to do it with had gone home for the weekend. So I did it on my own, cleaned them all out and all that. And I was so anxious. I felt ill, you know, because I just knew. So I cleaned up afterwards, cleaned myself up, took my overall off or whatever. And I went to the other building, which is a sixth form building called Cedar House, which is where the phone was. And there was an electric clock on the wall. I remember looking at it and seeing it was 10. I had to go right up to it to see it. It was a, you know, a wall clock. It said 10 to 3, and I thought, oh, bugger this. And yes, I probably did think those exact words. I'm not waiting any longer. There was no members of staff around. I didn't really care. There was no one else waiting for the phone. So I went and rung my mum, and she said the talks are okay, but I'm afraid little Ginger's died. She died under the anaesthetic. Her heart stopped. And I was absolutely heartbroken. I couldn't even talk to her on the phone. I just put the phone down and I ran all the way back to the other building. And I was meant to be going to this thing they had every annual. I never went. That was the one, because I was usually at home when this happened. It was on the local common, and it was called the Donkey Derby. And I never ever got to the Donkey Derby. That was the one year I was supposed to go, and I didn't go. I went to tell them, the duty people, that I'm not going because I just had some, you know, I was upset. Everyone knew I'd be really upset about my cat. And I ran off. I started crying and I ran off, and they tried to chase after me, but I ran down the stairs and I went in the common. The quickest way out was in the common room, but there was a bench. They had these French windows, but they had like a long bench seat in front of it. And the quickest way, that was the quickest exit. So I knew someone was after me. They were going to try and say I had to go to this bloody Donkey Derby. So I jumped up on the seat. I jumped over the back of it. So I must have had some sight then. And I ran out the French doors. I ran across the grounds and I ran all the way down to this place, what they called the Ha Ha Field. And I just stayed down there all afternoon. They didn't come after me after that. But on the following, that was on the Saturday. On the Monday morning, I never forget this. And I swear it can't have been a coincidence that the headmistress did it on purpose. We used to have assembly every day, and we used to have like a Bible reading, prayers, sing a hymn and all that. But it wasn't always a Bible reading. Sometimes it was just a thought-provoking piece of writing by a philosopher or, I don't know, out of a book about somebody's travels across the Sahara or whatever. And this time she read a poem called Milk for the Cat. I mean, what's that got to do with assembly? And so I have swore that she did it on purpose. Anyway, that was my first experience. The second one was when I was at university, and I was still 17 when I left school. I took my A-levels when I was 17, and I was about 17 and a half when I took my A-levels, and I was coming up for 18 when I went to university. And I didn't have a dog my first year. I got my dog in the summer of the second, you know, between the first and second year. But not that's got anything to do with it particularly, but, it, well, I don't know, it has in hasn't really. Anyway, I was lived in a hall of residence, and I wasn't in the main hall. There was a few houses for the girls and boys. There was like nice gardens and a paddock at the back with a little wood, and we were next to the chancellor's. I think it was the vice chancellor's house of the university. We were next door, and we had like a little copse that bordered the grounds of his house. And they put me in there because they knew I was going to be getting a dog, and they thought it was ideal, which it was really, because they knew I'd applied for a guide dog. And they didn't know when I was going to be getting her or him. It was a her. That's another story. Anyway, I got friendly with a few people that lived in my house, but they weren't, only one of them was on, I was doing French as my main subject. I did change over in the following year because I didn't want to spend, I decided I didn't want to go abroad for a year, but is that Candice coming? I think it is, you know. Just had a cat sharpening its claws and they're all in. Uh-oh, low battery. Dismiss. Okay. I was doing French and German was my subsidiary subject, and then she was doing German with French as a subsidiary, so some of our classes did coincide, that's the right word. But anyway, I was kind of really friendly with her. The others, none of them were doing my course. This other girl that I wasn't really that friendly with her. I used to go and see her sometimes because right from the very first day, her name was Jocelyn, and there was something that worried me about her, something that really worried me. I don't know what it was. I just got a really worried feeling. She was one of the ones that was well thought of because she was a medic. She was on she was doing medicine. I think someone's car alarm has been going off since this afternoon. I can hear it right in the distance. I don't think this microphone will pick it up. I'm sitting just inside my open door as the witching hour approaches. Anyway, let me think what happened. I went to see her this particular night. She was playing some music and stuff. And then it was Halloween, actually. It really was. It was Halloween, and I felt worried about her. I don't know why. I was extra worried about her this day. She didn't seem really down, but she was always quite quiet. And so I went to bed, and then some of the boys were really being stupid, as teenage boys are. They put sheets over their heads and came round to try and scare us all, going, ooh, at the windows because it was Halloween, the divvy idiots. I wonder what's happened to all them now. And I'm sure there's probably some tragic stories in amongst all that lot. I can't even remember who they were now. Anyway, there were people that we knew. All right, Niall, that's it. Anyway, well, I went to sleep and I had a dream that Jocelyn committed suicide. And in the morning I woke up with the most horrible feeling. It really was horrible. And then I went upstairs to knock for my friend Lynn, who was the one that was, we had some lectures the same. Because we must have had a lecture, you know, the same lecture that morning. So I went to knock for her so that we could walk together. And her room was next door to Jocelyn's. And Jocelyn was standing looking out the window. I mean, given I could see a little bit then. She was standing looking out the window, and it was the 1st of November now. And I went and stood next to her, and I said, how are you? Are you all right today? She went, yeah. And I said, I knew that she was meant to be in lectures. And I said, well, why aren't you going into lectures today? She said, oh, I didn't really feel like it. And she said that someone had a bonfire and she was looking at the wood smoke. I couldn't see that because it was obviously too far away. And then Lynn, I was talking to her, and I felt like I didn't really want to leave her. I don't know why, because I just felt really worried about it, because I'd had that dream. And then Lynn came out, and she got a bit shirty, and she said, are you coming or not? So I went, and we were gone all day. I think it was a Thursday. We were gone all day. And then in the afternoon, I finished an hour before Lynn. And normally I waited for her to come back. But this time, because I was worried about Jocelyn, I came back on my own. And when I got indoors, they'd made this thing. It was mostly for my benefit. Because my room was the first one near the front door. Bloody hell, that was such a pain. I moved upstairs the next year because I couldn't stand it. if someone rang the doorbell, they'd tell me that they'd come to see so-and-so. And we had this chart up on the wall with everyone's name, and it had a flap. And if you put it over one way, that meant that they're in. And then as we went out the door, we tucked the flap backwards, like it was an open page. And if it was across the other way, like a closed book, that meant they're in. So I could feel, because I knew that, like, the top one was mine and the next one was the girl next to me. You know, I knew I could just do that by quickly look and know if they're in or not. Obviously, some people probably did forget sometimes if they came home pissed and stuff. But as a general rule, people were very good at doing it. And so when I came in, the first thing I did actually was look, and I saw that she was in. And then I went in my room and put all my stuff away. I'm sorry if this is long-winded. I just can't tell a short story. So you're probably asleep by now. And I went upstairs, and I had a bookcase up there on that landing, because I had no room in my room, and it was a proper bookcase for Braille books. So I had all my books up there, nearly all of them, except the ones that, you know, I was actually working with at the time. And I was kneeling down, putting some of my books away that I'd just brought back. And I turned round, and I saw her in her doorway with the door ajar, looking out of her door at me, because her door was right in front of my bookcase. And I said, oh, what are you doing? Are you okay? And then she just lay down on the floor with her back against the wall and told me I've taken an overdose. And I thought, oh, for goodness sake. So I thought, well, what the hell? And she had all this loud classical music playing. I found out afterwards it was Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony. I don't know how I knew that. Anyway, I ran and told one of the other girls, and then I went downstairs. Well, I had to use a phone box, and I had to ring. I rang over to the warden of the hall for them to get something sorted out, and they come, and she got taken to hospital, and she had a stomach pump, and she was okay, but I lost touch with her. She didn't come back. She went on to a different course, but then in the summer holidays, or one of the holidays, I think it was the Easter holidays, she had a really well-to-do family. Her father had died, but they had a big house in Dorset, in near Poole. And she jumped out the blooming window and broke her leg. And she did come back up to university, and she did come and see me. That was the last time I saw her, and I did keep in touch for years with her, and also with one of her sisters, her older sister that had nothing to do with me, but she lived near me when I lived in London later on. But I've lost touch with them now, and I often wonder what happened to her. The last time I heard, she was going on a trip around the world, but that was years ago. I don't know what it was with her. She was a twin. Whether she was felt inferior, I don't know. But that was really weird, because I just had that. I was worried right from day one, and then I had that dream. And then that happened the next day. And I blamed myself at the time. I took it really badly, although everything turned out fine. And, you know, her mother did come and say thank you to me for looking out for her and stuff. Because she must have told her that, I think she was quite lonely, and I think she told her that I was the only one, you know, that had been a good friend to her or something like that. Well, I did try. And I took it really badly. In fact, I probably should have, I mean, I was only young. I still wasn't 18. And I probably should have had some kind of counselling, because I did blame myself for a long time about that, because I felt I shouldn't, because I was worried that morning. I think it, Oh, shit, it's fireworks. What are they doing letting them off at this time of night? Maybe it's midnight. I don't know. Let's see.
Close. Vodafone UK network.
Oh, I can't even be bothered. I'm just a bit worried about my battery. Oh, here, Kate Candice. Hello, little bitch. You coming in on the witching hour, are you? Just in time. What you been doing? Come on. Come on, you little witch bitch. Lammy. He can't hear me. I think he's stopping to coming in. He's going to be 12 at midnight. Well, on the 1st of November. Anyway, yeah, I did blame myself because I thought I shouldn't have gone that morning and I should have, you know, but it probably would have happened some other time anyway, even if I had. So then the other thing that I'm going to talk about now is happened the same year. No, the following year, but the same academic year. I don't know what month it was, but it was after that. And I'd been out with my friend Lynn. We'd been out and we come back. We hadn't been drinking or anything. We didn't drink much. We hadn't been drinking this time. And nothing. She hadn't said anything at all about anything. And I remember she went upstairs to her room and I went into my room. And I was just getting ready for bed. And I just sat down in bed. And I remember I had Radio 4 on, of all things. And the shipping forecast. It was late because the shipping forecast came on. And I used to like listen to the music. And I suddenly had a vision of her at my door with her hand up to her mouth, saying that there was something wrong with her mouth. I swear to God, this is the honest truth. And she hadn't said anything about her mouth at all. I'll tell you something, it was less than 10 minutes and she was knocking on someone knocked on my door. I thought, who the hell's that this time of night? So I went to the door, because it was locked, obviously. We had a lock on the back, like a bolt, not a bolt, but like a thing that you switch over, you know. I said, who is it? She said, it's me. I opened the door and she sounded a bit shaky. And I said, what's... And I went to the door and I opened it and I said, what's the matter? She said, she told me that that she couldn't close her mouth. Her jaw had locked. I couldn't believe it. I'll tell you, I thought, what? Anyway, it turned out to be nothing too serious, but I had to go and sit up in her room with her all night. She got into bed and she fell asleep and I sat in the chair and I was absolutely freezing. And the next day I went to the infirmary with her and it turned out that it was to do with her wisdom teeth. I can't remember what happened in the end, but I couldn't believe it. I literally had this vision of her at the door with her hand up to her mouth like that. And then it really happened. I swear it really happened. But I haven't had anything like, I can't think of anything else since that. People used to say at work, they used to tease me and say I was a witch because I used to tell them things like that. I'm not. Anyway, I think that's enough strange goings on. I don't know where Candice has gone now. And I'm glad I don't live near that car alarm because it would be really annoying, or burglar alarm or whatever it is. Anyway, everyone, I'll love you and leave you for now, and I'll speak to you soon. Happy Halloween. Ooh.